And welcome to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Saturday, the 5th day of February, in the year of our Lord, 2022. The call-in number is 512-248-8252. If you do call in, because we've got so much cover, please limit your call to about 5 minutes, and please stay on topic. Rick, let's continue with the gardening, buddy. Are you there, Rick? Maybe Rick had to step away for a minute. Okay, folks. I'm going to give you a news update here real quick from Zero Hedge. Conservatives livid at GoFundMe after millions stolen from truckers. Alternate fundraiser gets $1.1 million overnight. I would say these truckers up in Canada have the people's support, which is a really, really good thing. At least I think it's a good thing. Anyway, they're accepting donations from Give, Send, Go campaign. And it's for the Freedom Convoy. Apparently, I just tried to pull up the link. And guess what, guys? The server is down. So I would say that they're a little bit overloaded. Anyway, Rick, are you back?
Yeah, here I am.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I was just telling the people, I don't know if you heard what I said or not, but the, you know, where GoFundMe took all the truckers' money, they switched over to a site called GoSendMe. Or hang on, that ain't right. Go send or givesendgo.com. And I just clicked on the link and their server has crashed.
Isn't the left so tricky? Aren't they so tricky? You know,
Think they've gotten that much business.
Well, why? I mean, why?
$1.1 million in about 12 hours.
Well, yeah, but who says that's not going to get stolen as well?
It might. It might.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I got it. I appreciate the generosity of people. I really, really do. I think people are overwhelmingly good. But it just takes a handful of jackwagons to screw the whole mess up. And
yeah.
That's why they're not allowed in heaven. that's frankly, you know, God is aware of how one bad apple screws up the entire barrel. So there you have it.
Hey, we got a caller, buddy.
Oh, go right ahead. That'll be fine.
We got Jim in New York on line 5. Good afternoon, Jim.
Oh, hi, Tim and Rick. The people are going on about GoFundMe, but, you know, and I always say, you know, to say it's the liberals, it's the left. Where are the Republicans? Where is the Republican, quote, opposition to GoFundMe?
Good question.
You know,
Everyone
says, you know, oh, it's the liberals, and that's true. But, you know, I haven't heard any or very, very few Republican, the quote opposition, complaining or saying anything. They don't say anything about Facebook. They don't say anything about Google. Why? Because the Republican establishment is fully invested in those companies. They're also
Jim, for years I've said the two parties are just two heads of the same snake. And I've maintained that for the past 10 years I've been on the air. And I still maintain it.
Yes. They're no opposition at all, at least on the federal level. Now, I vote for local Republicans and even state Republicans. They're better than the Democrats. But on the federal level, they're just useless. I mean, do you see them complaining about Facebook, Google, Big Pharma?
Well, yes, they are complaining some about Facebook. Yes. That's the reason they dug, Zuckerberg up in front of Congress for hearing so many times.
Yeah, but you know,
They don't do anything about it, though.
No, they don't, because they're fully invested. Republican Party is, and I remember a lady years ago, like 30 years ago, saying, oh, all the Republicans care about is money, big business, and the rich. And you know what? She was right, and they still do.
The fact and the Democrats is, are the same way.
I know, but, people have to be careful where they spend their money. Boycott these companies. Hershey in Pennsylvania just mandated the vaccine. Any opposition from the Republicans? I haven't heard a word.
I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, Hershey Chocolate, huge company. They're mandating the vaccines. But the Republicans, they'll say, oh, well, we can't interfere. It's good for business. It's big business. Also, you know, that Marjorie Taylor Greene, turns out she's fully invested in Big Pharma. And she's supposed to be a, quote, anti-vaxxer. But all her money's in Big Pharma. So my point is that if people think the Republicans are going to save them, they're deluded. Cause they're just about money. That's it. But thank you very much, and thank you, and you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You too, Jim. Thank you for your call. Okay, Rick, we don't have any more callers waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, the call-in number is 512-248-8252. Rick, my memory is telling me, last week you told me you ordered some of those Hassanator tomato seeds, right?
I did.
Yeah, I did too. So I'm looking forward to seeing how those do.
Yeah, I am too. And by the way, to Jim's point, once again, I just don't know how often I'm going to have to say this. The Republicans aren't going to save you. The Democrats aren't going to save you. Nobody is going to save you. That is what this show is about. It's about trying to give you a couple of tools you can use to at least extend the possibility of your life. I don't know if any of us can save you, but, trying to be self-reliant and anti-fragile was the whole reason that we even came around here. We're trying to pry your eyes open and get you to learn to take care of yourselves.
That's what this is all about.
We never suggested the Republicans would take care of you. They're as big of criminals as the Democrats. That was never a proposal on the table around here. You're the one that's going to save you. You and possibly the people in your family that you educate and empower when things get rough, maybe you can rely on them a little bit.
It's all about self-sufficiency.
Oh, my goodness. Come on. 100 years ago, we didn't have this nonsense. I was going to go right back to the tomato thing, but let me say this.
Go ahead. either way.
It's part of my notes anyway. We're going to come right back to the tomato situation. But with the advent of the metaverse, To me, this is going to be worse than opioids and crack cocaine. this business about spending, young people already don't have any skills or interests. This business about sitting there with these 3D goggles on your head, looking like you're completely retarded and waving your arms around in the air. Honest to God, you look like something in a nursing home. And it's not going to do anything for the size of your ass or your muscle tone. And as far as the prospect of you ever having had the thought in your head that you would learn a skill like gardening or anything at all, this is further from your fingertips now than ever. I don't know if I said this. If I did, I apologize. My son was over here playing with one of these devices a couple of weeks ago. Did I tell you this?
No.
Okay. Well, what he did was, is he put these things on my head, and he put a, what would you call it? It was like a device in each hand, and if you move them, it does certain things. He also built a web around me so that I wouldn't walk into the furniture. He then asked me, he started a program and told me to turn around. And when I did, I was on a city street and there was an elevator in front of me. He said, go in and hit the button that says penthouse. And I did that. And it took me all the way to the top of this, like, 25-story building. And when it opened, there was nothing but a plank in front of me and, like, 25 stories below the street. And he says, now walk out and jump. And I'm like, holy shit, you got to be kidding me. There is no, I'm not even going to. I leaned over and I looked down at cars and people going by 25 stories down. I got to tell you, it was the nastiest experience I've had in a long time.
How fast did you rip that headset off?
No, I didn't do that. I just hit the... I was proactive. I pushed the ground floor and went back down. But there were some things in there that were educational and fascinating. You can put this thing on and go to another program where you pick a country and a place in that country, like Vietnam. And wherever that, whatever that weird vehicle is that goes around with the big weird-looking camera on it, I guess it's Google.
Street View. Google Street View.
I was walking through villages in India and in Vietnam, just walking down dirt roads, looking at the people and the houses. It was unusual, the plants. I've never seen these plants before. But, you know, for someone like me, you're not going to get me to spend a lot of time on this. I will say it was interesting. there was this simulation about fighting where I was in a gunfight, and it was fascinating. My son was watching me, and somebody ran up to me with a gun, and I did something, and he goes, did you just take the gun out of that man's hand? And I said, yes. And he goes, I never thought of that. Well,
okay.
I didn't have a gun. I didn't
He's
have a gun.
He's never been there for real, has he?
No. And, you know, when I'm not going to let the guy shoot me either. So anyway, you know, but my point is this. I'm getting off onto a tangent, which I try not to do. if anybody was ever thinking about becoming self-reliant or trying to learn to take care of themselves, this isn't going to help at all. It's just not going to help. We're going to go on talking about, let me read this one little article, this one little paragraph from somebody who wrote in to the LDS, the food for Everybody. I think it's Food for Everybody Foundation. And it says this. I love my mint lighter garden. The mint lighter method has taught me how to grow food just like a farmer in my own backyard. I feel like Dr. Mint Lighter was able to scientifically analyze the building blocks of successful large-scale farming and then scale it down so that it could be used by farmers or home gardeners alike. That is why I love the Mittleiter method. I grow food. Well, okay. That is probably accurate. There are a lot of people. Yeah. Let me see. Did I write this other one down? It was kind of funny. Here. I have planted and killed innumerable poor plants every spring. This year, I followed the plan, and now I have the best garden I've ever had, and my potatoes are huge. There's another guy here. He has a 80-square-foot bed, 10 by 20. He got 250 pounds of onions out of that one bed, and he said they are the most delicious, sweetest onions that he has ever had. Well, I totally believe that, because onions are not necessarily grown with any great care in mind. They're just grown. They're grown in the dirt, and they give you onions, and they sort of taste like onions. Okay, good. You knew they would. That's why you bought them. But as far as being as good as you can do in your backyard, not necessarily. With respect to the tomatoes, the Hausnater, what is it? Hausnater, I think it's Hausnater 2255. There is something else that I just ordered right before the show, and I'm going to be interested in seeing this because what this thing is purported to be, and I don't know, as I think all you people are aware, the Sun Gold tomato plants around here are equal to the most prolific tomato plants that I have, but they have just a kind of one-of-a-kind type flavor, and to that point, there's always a reason to grow Sun Golds. There is a rats. Oh, here it is. There is a plant out there. It's supposed to be like a Sun Gold, except the plant. A Sun Gold tomato plant is an indeterminate plant, and as such, can be very, very aggravating because they get just to be so wide and so tall. It is, you know, they just make a mess out of wherever you plant them. I mean, they're ridiculous. You know, they'll go up 7-8 feet and they'll spread 4 feet. And if you've got them planted near other tomatoes, they just engulf them. And, it could be worse. You know, at least you're getting Sun Gold tomatoes off of them. But there is a plant called Torrangina, and it comes from Johnny's, Torrangina, Torrangina. And it is supposed to be a compact Sun Gold. I will give that one a shot for sure. It's an expensive thing. It's like $7.70 for a packet of, it's hot. Yeah, 10 or 20 seeds. And of course, it is unlikely that you'll be able to save those seeds. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a hybrid. I was right before the show. I did not have a chance to do any intelligent investigation or study on that. I'm just going to give it a try. but as I've said before, of all the plants you can and cannot grow in big pots, and we were talking about this right at the end of the show, the Sun Golds do love to be in big pots. A lot of the other ones suffer what's called root shock. When the plant gets hot when the pot gets hot, the plant, it doesn't matter how wet the soil is, the plant just droops like it's dying until the sun goes down. And so some tomato plants are very, very indignant about being treated in that way, and the roots really do have to remain cool. Sun Golds doesn't faze them at all. They couldn't care less. These big pots I'm using are black, and so you can imagine that, you know, in the sun, you know, they heat up. But the right. Sun Gold just doesn't care. It never wilts, never fades. In fact, as I mentioned before, these plants are on the edge of the driveway, right where I can get to them, and they seem to like it. I think I've said this before. They seem to actually produce more fruit than the plants back in the garden. So, with respect, so one other caveat here: the Bella Rosa, which is the plant that I, the tomato plant that I plant the most of, because it is such a disease-resistant plant, a good-tasting tomato, and a very productive plant, is a determinant, which means it's going to give up the ghost when things get really, really hot and humid. Here in right. the middle of Missouri, it'll probably kill them right about the end of July. But you've got 70 days to maturity. Okay, 70 days to maturity, which means 70 days till you're harvesting. So I was going to plant my tomato plants, peppers, and eggplants in 1 week, probably next weekend, middle of February. I'm beginning to think that's probably a little too quick, you know, because as eager as I am to get going, there are reasons that you don't want to do that. And
you can't figure the last freeze date anymore, Rick.
No, you can't.
That's my big thing.
Yeah, you remember the one last year, man, that wiped me out.
And the one year before.
I hate to be a complainer, but, man. The last frost date here is supposed to be April 15th. I'm going to say that the date I'm shooting for is between there and May 1st. So to that point, you're talking about keeping your tomatoes in the flat around 6 weeks. So if I say April 15th, that moves me back to March the 1st. So rather than planting my seeds in the middle of February, I will wait, I think, until the end. And the reason, you've got a number of problems. One of the problems is that, you know, to provide these things with intelligent light so they don't get leggy, which they will do. They'll get stringy and leggy, and you'll have to start over. That or they get root wrapped, which means that, you know, they've been in the pot too long, the roots start circling, and when you put them in the ground, they spend way too long trying to figure out what is going on. What you really want is plants that when you put them in the ground, they basically take off running.
And that's the reason I bought the flats that you recommended, Rick.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Dang. I was looking. Yeah, is that from the Greenhouse Megastore? The Megastore?
Yes.
I got to get into that. I got to get in there today and get me some of those flats.
I also bought the tree ones, too.
Did you really?
There's a citrus variety that I've already bought the seeds from. It's the only form of citrus that will grow here. It's called a dragon something or other. And tried growing them last year, but I went in the hospital and nobody took care of them and they died. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try them again this year with those tree pots. And, of course, I bought the no-hole trays for both of the kinds of flats. So,
be careful about your drainage. You're going to have to keep looking down there to make sure you don't have a bunch of water sitting
right.
down there causing you mold and rot. I think it would be appropriate, since you did this, to explain to the people the intelligence behind the root training trays and the tree pot, and what a tree pot is anyway.
Well, the tree pots I bought are 3 inches at the top. They're sort of a funnel shape, and they're 8 inches deep. Trees, of course, have tap roots, or most trees do, not all of them, maples don't. But make a long story short, folks, the reason I bought these pots is I want to give the tree seeds I plant a very good start. And I should be able to keep them in there for probably 9 months to a year before I transfer them into 1 gallon pots. And we'll see what happens on that. Now, the root training flats I bought, what they're supposed to do, and I'm going to find out if they do.
I've seen the pictures. Okay. They do exactly what they're supposed to do.
All right. Well, in other words, the roots won't get all wrapped up in a, what do you call it, Rick, a mass?
It's called circling. They turn into like a closed fist.
Right. And that apparently won't happen. I'm looking forward to trying that. I bought some very expensive seeds this year. I bought 20 Hasinator seeds, and I'm only going to plant a small portion of those. But still, at $4 for 10 of them, to me, that's expensive seeds. So I figured I'd give them the best chance possible.
So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know, you probably don't have a heat mat, but in order to give those things a square shot, you almost need to get that flat up to about 90 degrees. It might work if you put them in a sunny window. You might be able to do it. And when they talk about raising the flat to 90 degrees, what they're talking about is not that the seeds won't germinate, but not all of them will. You're trying to get 100% germination if you can.
Right.
And in order to achieve in order to increase your chances to 100%, you should follow the requirements that the plant has, and the nightshades, as I said, across the board, want 90 degrees. So, that's what they want. So if you can figure out a way, I think I bought a set of four heat mats. I think I paid like $120 for four of them. And, most people don't need four. Can get one. You could get one, which would be, and they all come with like a probe. I don't know if you all know this. They come with a wire and a probe. And the probe goes, you stick it in the dirt in the flat, and then you start setting your heat mat, and you watch where the temperature, it will tell you what the temperature of the probe is, and you're probably going to have to take your heat mat all the way up to the top, which is 108, in order to get the heat mat to 90 degrees. Let's see. So this one here next to me, it's in the heated garage. The temperature in here is 50, and I've got this heat mat set on 108, and this is for onions. So right now the soil is 76.6. Okay, so, just because you set it at 108 doesn't mean it's going to 108 at all.
Right.
Now, if I was in the house where it's 70 degrees, 71 degrees, I would have to turn this down, or I would wind up killing everything. So,
right.
It depends on the ambient. We're fighting with the ambient air. So here in the garage, 50 degrees, set at 108, I got 76. So that's good enough, because the onions want it. It's 75 degrees to germinate onions. So I'm doing well. This is going to, although the things have been down there for six days now, I haven't seen any sign of anything. But I can never remember how long each individual crop takes to germinate. I know onions tend to go rather slow. Peppers far worse. Peppers can take up to 2 weeks. Tomatoes, if you get them on a heat mat and keep them damp, you can get those to pop in 3 to 5 days. But onions, I think you're looking at more like a week or two. So we will give the Torringenas, and as I said before, not to be redundant, but I thought I had my tomato game all squared away. But I must admit, I'm going to have to add. I'm going to have to try a couple Torringenas, and I'm going to have to try the Hasinator 2255 tomato plants. We're going to see where that goes. I have not
the
ordered
price
sweet
we
potatoes.
Paid for, you know, oh. The price we paid for those seeds, Rick, they ought to go like gangbusters.
Well,
you know, we ought to have an 18-inch wide stalk on them, and they'd be 12 feet tall.
I think, it's a determinant plant. It'll be a squatty plant. I bet it won't get taller than 4 to 5 feet, but...
I bet you're right.
Yeah, determinant tomato plants are short. Indeterminants get much taller. And, you know, to that point, people who have limited space or older people, they don't want to keep trying to trellis a tomato up 6, 7, 8 feet. They don't.
Me neither.
They just aren't interested in that. So a determinant plant for those folks is probably the way to go. The potato seed we can normally find here at the local farm supplies. Of course, they're not going to be in here yet because they couldn't possibly ship them anyway because they would freeze. I got up this morning and it was 6 degrees. But there is a place, just in case you're interested, that has a... they grow these potatoes themselves, so it's not a middleman. It's called Wood Prairie. Wood Prairie, all one word, woodprairie.com. They grow and ship their own organic seed potatoes. And you could give them a crank. There is a coupon code for 5% off. And, man, I bet you got to get it just right. I think it's Lazy Dog Farms, all one word. Lazy Dog Farms, all one word, I think gets you 5% off. However, they will not ship to you. All these people that ship potatoes, they constantly watch the weather. And depending on where you are, they will ship those things to you when it is possible. They're not going to, you know, you take a bunch of potatoes and stick it in somebody's mailbox at 0 degrees.
You don't have potato starts.
No, not really. Not really. So, you know, that becomes a real issue. If I may, to the mid-lighter, I'm going to dodge back here to the video called The Big Lie. I mean, as far as the mid-lighter process being supposedly unsustainable, the truth of the matter is that if you were going to grow in a complete no-dig way, the fact is there isn't enough manure or compost in the world to constantly overlay these beds with the amount of composted material that would be required to feed 14.5 billion people. Whether you like it or not, the truth of the matter is that the only way that the population of this planet ever got to 14.5 billion is because of modern technical ag. These are the people that have produced
the quantity. Rick, I hate to argue with you, but I think the population's about 7.9 billion, not 14.
No, you know what I'm doing? I always do this. I'm multiplying. You are right. It's 14.5. What is it? How does it go? 7. So they want to kill 7 billion. So, yeah, 7.5 billion. So, yeah, so you're right. 7.5 billion. I'm always getting confused because of the Georgia Guidestones. There's only one way that you can have that many people and feed that many people is ag, commercial agriculture.
Agreed. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, and of course they're using chemical fertilizers.
You know that urea is going to be all but unavailable this year.
No, well, that has gone back and forth from year to year, but I have not heard.
China's exporting zero. China will not export any this year.
They are on total lockdown, and I think I mentioned this. One of these economic gurus mentioned a while back that they are in complete lockdown mode. They are hoarding all of their resources, particularly food and fertilizer, and they're not letting anybody have anything. Oh, I did say this. And they're telling all of their retailers, but their exporters, to find the local market. So my point, though, with the unsustainability is that, you know, if you're counting on gardening with manure or compost, it's unlikely to be sustainable at any point, because you as a normal individual, you're probably just not going to be able to acquire the kind of compost material that you would need. Now, what you can do is you can store 12-12-12 or 16-16-16 fertilizer, and you can get your hands on those packets of micronutrients, which is part of the Mittleiter system. You can lay your hands on those and put those aside. A packet of Mittleiter micronutrients would be maybe the size of your hand, maybe a little smaller than
big.
That, maybe the size of a child's hand.
Rick, I hate to interrupt. I really do. But all of a sudden, we've got callers.
I don't know why they always wait till the end of the show like that.
I don't either, buddy.
Maybe you better try and clip them to 5 minutes so we can get a few of them in.
All right. Let's go to Jerry in Missouri on line 3 first. Hi, Jerry.
Thank you for accepting this call.
Yes, sir.
You asked to only talk about one or two points, so I'm going to do that, please.
All right,
I want to talk
you,
about
sir.
Gardening.
Well,
I'd like to talk about gardening. Gardening and I'd like to talk about gardening and bugs, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
All right, well, I did some various research. This is years ago. And anyway, I wanted to hunt down non-GMO tobacco. I mean, real tobacco. Well, the law says you got to have a license to have tobacco, and it turns out you can't buy anything except, GMO garbage. I finally found a man that was growing non-GMO tobacco. Drove about 45 minutes to his house and got myself about 20 seeds. Planted the seeds and didn't want to fool with them at all until I saw seeds and, you know, they're ready to go. Well, during that process, when the seeds were, you know, ready to go, I noticed that my tobacco plants, I only had 5 at that moment, and that they were covered up with bugs. Mm-hmm. They weren't covered up until the seeds got there. I also noticed that birds were coming in and hitting them plants like you couldn't believe.
Really?
Well, I went and I looked underneath the tobacco plants, and there were a bunch of dead ones, but the birds never ate them. I said, well, hell, I'm starting to learn something, I think, here. Well, my initial process was to take and to get my tobacco up to a certain stage and then find a dilution rate to use the tobacco. Well, anyway, I did that, and, you know, anyway, so that worked after some experimentation. And then I said, look at this. Bugs all over the tobacco plants. Well, I harvested those plants for future use for bugs. Well, the next year I took plants and I spaced them, 5 or 6 or 7 of them around my garden. Well, I didn't have any bugs on the rest of my plants. None of them. And I said, well, you don't need to dilute this. So every year I just took and put in some, there are a couple times I let them go to 2 or 3 years, and I just, you know, rototill around them and do the weeds myself. And anyway, That's how I solved my bug problem. I don't have any chemicals, and if you think you can get nicotine out of something in the store, let me read you. These cigars are predominantly natural tobacco with non-tobacco ingredients added. Well, I don't want garbage going in my body, okay? I don't want to go in my plants.
Right.
This product can expose you to chemicals, including tobacco smoke, which is known to cause cancer and birth defects. Just a little testimony there. Anyway, think about it. You don't have to put chemicals on your plants. You don't have to eat that chemicals when you're eating. And all you have to do is follow what the Father says. He says, I give you every green herb-bearing plant for your use. And that's where I live from. So I wanted to share that with y'all. I know y'all work. I listen to you almost every week. I thank you for allowing me to contribute maybe a little bit. Good luck trying to find some non-GMO tobacco seeds. Like I say, it took me a long time to find this old fella to get me some, and I had to drive. You know, he gave them to me. I tried paying. And anyway, but tobacco causes the bugs to come in. I also know that my dogs went over there and started chewing on the dadgum tobacco leaves and eating them. And I said, well, look at this. I got myself a warmer. Study nicotine.
There you go.
Pure nicotine. It was used for centuries to kill bugs and people. And, of course, now I was using it on my garden, and my garden looked real nice. So I thought I'd share that with y'all. And, quit, you know, the way to quit using chemicals on your plants, and then you in eating those chemicals, which cause cancer and all kinds of other stuff. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I'll stand by and listen.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate your call. Next, we go to Mike in Kentucky on line 5, and Mike better have his harmonica in his pocket.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't followed it exactly for the last, 20 years or so, but I know a lot of tobacco bases in Kentucky were leased out, and then they collapsed that program, and, of course, we lost the world's largest tobacco warehouse was in Moorhead, Kentucky, the targeted town of Kim Davis is what I call it, but anyway, they tore that down and built a regional detention centers, which is kind of poetic, I think, but you might say, the world's largest tobacco warehouse is gone. But there's a company called Natural American Spirit that is the only one where you can find, and it's hard to find sometimes. It's like $10 or $12 for a pouch of it, not even 2 ounces, but it's the only one that offers organic tobacco that I've ever seen in the last 30 years now. When they started, I first heard about them probably mid-90s. They were granted experimental status to get around the quotas in the eastern states for tobacco, and they were growing their tobacco in Arizona on some kind of Native American Pueblos property. And I guess they'd use, that's what they said, they had to hand remove any insects off those plants. But like he said, they draw, there's one in particular, it's really weird around these parts. When it makes a moth, it's a huge gray moth with eyes on it, and the worms are bright, bright green with big eye spots on them. And I remember as a youngster going out and picking those off the plants, that grew behind my house. They did a commercial, but that's not what I called about. Anyway, and I have grown stray tobacco plants, and I don't think anybody says anything about it in Kentucky if you use it as a landscape plant. But, yeah, it's very heavily regulated and licensed. I don't know what the regulations are, if you can grow 3 or 4 plants yourself in your backyard without anybody saying anything. The only un-American thing there is about a lot of stuff is getting caught, apparently. But, no, there is a give, send, go. You were talking about initially. And I tried calling in, you can blame the callers for not calling in until late, but I tried calling in after that first caller 45 minutes ago and tried repeatedly both the 800 number and the other line, and I guess the board operator got called away for a while. So, and after a while, my phone company says, your party is not answering, So, so there was a problem there on your guys' end, but that's not the first time I've had phone problems trying to call in. Over on TLB Talk. TLB Talk has a strong association with RBN. I just posted a video of the National Religious Broadcasters Association entire Comcast voicemail was hacked in 2018 or 2019 before the 2020 election. They were trying to infiltrate these organizations, obviously to influence the election, I believe. And at least 5 months of their content was hacked on their voicemail system. So if you can check that out, it's at TLB Talk. My profile name is TV10 Moorhead. And I posted a link where I called in an explanation of the video on Mike Rivero's show yesterday. But the Give, Send, Go is a Christian alternative for the truckers to go to, and it's free to raise money instead of using GoFundMe. You were puzzling over their site crashing, and even Russia Today and a whole bunch of other news sites noted that in the last 15 hours or so, that their platform that they went to, and I can't find my tab where I was looking this up. I've got too many tabs open. But, they're here. Freedom Convoy finds new crowdfunding platform and crashes it despite technical issues caused by a surge in traffic. The new campaign is still growing quickly. And I guess I didn't realize that on this it talks about Joe Rogan. His podcasts have been pulled from Spotify. And this says he apologized. It's what this says on Russia Today America, along with this story as a side panel. Yeah, it says Joe Rogan apologizes. If I was him, I would not have apologized. He did say, and I thought he was very classy in his video, talking about how he grew up listening to Neil Young, and he even worked at a Neil Young concert venue. And the crowd was getting rowdy and starting all these fires, and they were going around trying to put them out, and he finally threw up his hands and left because they didn't provide them the resources to put out the fires. I mean, but he was a fan and grew up listening to Neil Young, and he understood why Neil Young did that or whatever. It was a really classy video I saw. I think it was actually on RBN where I found that video, but this says Joe Rogan's podcast has been disappeared from Spotify. But what is the saying? The country saying you don't put all your eggs in one basket. So the Freedom Convoy needed from the word get go to spread out their fundraising efforts beyond GoFundMe, and I'll bet you GoFundMe would not have pulled it if they had had three or four different platforms raising funds for them, like this Give, Send, Go. Which is one of the number one Christian, and it's free as a fundraiser. I have never used it, but I've heard about it. It's advertised on other, Christian networks.
With these idiotic lefties pitching their little fits and getting their way. And to that point, what in the world are we going to do if Whoopi Goldberg quits The View, whatever.
The View.
Yeah. Oh my God! What are we going to do without Whoopi Goldberg?
I thought she was leaving the country if Trump got elected. I thought we were going to be rid of her 5 years ago.
Well, and to that point, we all tell that they're a bunch of liars. Yeah, she lied.
Well, you're breaking up. I hope I sound okay.
You're sounding good.
You guys
Mike.
Are. What now?
I said, you're sounding real good.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you got other callers, so I'll get off here, but that's the gamut I was trying to, gauntlet I was trying to run in 5 minutes or less.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got one more caller left, and we're going to try to get him in here real quick. Tom in Utah on line 9. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, group. Just wanted to let you know when
food. How are you doing today, buddy?
You got it. You got it.
I'm doing excellent.
Up before noon. Yeah.
I'm doing excellent. I'm 80 and kicking.
Okay.
Anyway, just wanted to let you know that when food becomes premium,
yeah,
the closer to the garden you consume that food, the more efficiently that food is going to nourish you. And as much of the garden you can consume in its fresh state, even potatoes, believe it or not. When I was a youngster, I'd go out and pull potatoes out of the ground, wipe the dirt off, maybe even steal a salt shaker from the kitchen, but maybe salt that or eat it just like an apple.
That's an acquired taste, but they are good. I like it.
Well, it's time to acquire that taste because you may come down to that.
Oh, yes. I totally agree with you. And it's not the worst thing that could happen.
Oh, you see, the nutritional uptake efficiency when you're in the garden and the food is fresh, right, from the vine or from the tree, your efficiency of nutritional uptake is approaching 90 to 100%.
Right.
And, of course, you do know that when you cook a food or can a food, your natural vitamin C disappears.
Yeah, you change a whole bunch of stuff. All the natural, I forget what they call it, but you basically are destroying a lot of the chemical benefit in the food. I don't want to change the subject, but aside from Jacob Mittleider, there was another fellow who's still alive. His name is Jim Kennard, or Kennard, however you want to put it. He's still out moving around. Are you familiar with the Mittleider process, or Jacob Mittleider or Jim Kennard from the Food for Everyone Foundation with the LDS community? Are you familiar with any of these people?
Well, I was an advisor to the LDS food system I've been so distanced, doing battle for families and for wrongly accused individuals, I haven't been able to stay up on that. But I'll tell you this. When you're trying to get the most nutrition out of your food, number one, don't mix animal and plant. Because when you eat animal, you toggle your digestive chemistry to acid-base bacteria mucus, very expensive. So you get about 20% of your value out of the food that comes along with the animal, in combination.
Sure.
So eat your food as much as you can, fresh from the garden, and stay with the garden only when you're eating it, when you've got limited amount. And that, like I say, your nutritional uptake is between 90 and 100%. It's really good when you're up on the salad, so to speak. You know, the rabbit gets high amount of nutritional value out of a small amount of food. But anyway, I did work as an advisor to what's called the Bishop's Storehouse System.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge proponent. You know, I can effectively bucket up all my own food, and I've probably said this before, but I apologize if I'm saying it again, and that is that I cannot acquire beans and bucket them up and beat the Bishop's Storehouse price on beans. I can't beat them on rice. I can bucket that up with oxygen absorbers, and I can beat their price on rice. But when it comes to the beans, the legumes, and they, by the way, have a number of them. You're talking about navy beans, pinto beans, black beans, that kind of. They've got a number of choices. I cannot. It's just more cost effective to go to the Bishop's Storehouse and get the legumes there, and they're in number 10 cans, which I kind of like. I think that's real cool.
Yeah, and if they're still vital, you can sprout them and get a really excellent nutritional benefit from the sprouted beans.
You sure could. I'm not clear on that. You know, we talk about this a number of times, and I know that they test. I think I forget how far to go back. I think they send in a group of cans every single year from 30 years back to see what's going on. They haven't tested. And they are all still nutritionally viable. Although they've pulled corn and things out of Egyptian tombs, pyramids that grew. So it could be.
Yeah, what I try to do is I was try to sprout as many, lay them out, you know, on a wet cloth on the tray.
Right.
And sprout as many as that will sprout. And then the ones that don't sprout, go ahead and just cook them or eat them soft anyway. Like
well,
I say, when
that's pretty much how the germ testing is done anyhow. That's how professional germ testing is done.
Right.
That's how professionals germinate marijuana. So you know it's got to be right. Oh, you like? Oh, yeah. Somebody got my joke. Okay.
Yeah. Like I say, when food becomes premium, the best way to survive is to eat it as close to the garden as possible. Like I say, don't mix animal, because animal will trigger that acid-base bacteria mucus chemistry, and which is very expensive in terms of energy. When you're eating only from the garden straight, in fact,
yeah,
the food itself carries enzymes, so your pancreas does not have to create the, you know, the digestive enzymes, because it's already in the food. The food, it's like you lay the tomato on the table and leave it there. After a day or two, that tomato will begin to self-digest, and that's exactly what happens in your stomach if you eat that tomato raw.
Well, not that anybody cares at this point, but my diet, my breakfast is always the same, avocados and bananas, and then my lunch is going to be a huge Mediterranean salad, and then for dinner, you know, it's whatever my wife cooks, and it will typically include some form of chicken or something, but two-thirds of my diet is vegetarian, and for that I'm grateful. I will never be a vegetarian. I don't think that's going to be practical here, but when left to my own devices, it's fruits and vegetables what I eat.
Well, don't
that
lock
to say,
into
I
that
don't
want
to. I'm trying to dodge divorce. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you one thing. No pathogen can come to you from out of the garden, quite frankly. Most people don't believe that. They think, oh, pathogens are out there in the garden. No, the pathogens in the garden are only those that are designed to attack plants. You take those plant pathogens and put them inside you, they die right away because you're the wrong food. The pathogens attack you have to be...
We're out of time, buddy. It's the end of the show.
Holy
moly. Ladies
Michael.
And gentlemen,
you
hope to see you again next week. Yeah, we did. But anyway, we'll be back same time, same channel next week. Please pray for us and pray for America. And we're praying for you. Bye-bye, folks.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.